Alex, I've been thinking last couple of months, you know, all these folks that have their businesses have told them to, you know, you work from home, and you know, and instead of getting up and getting your shower and getting your clothes on and getting in the car and going to work, you get up and you go get you a cup of coffee, and you may or may not get dressed, and you get down there and sit in front of your computer. And there's a lot of these folks that have been working from home are going to hate it when they have to go back in the office.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I agree with you. And yeah, that's my routine. I get up about 5:30 or 6, and I come downstairs, and I usually put a kettle of water on the stove to boil. I drink French press coffee. That's where you grind it, put it in a pot, pour the hot water over it, and let it brew. It's a lot stronger than drip coffee. And while that water's boiling on my gas stove, I'll come in here and start up the work computer and the VPN, log in, and by the time I get all that started and check my email a little bit, I'll start boiling. So, yeah, I pretty much wear pajamas all day. I'm not going to lie to you. K4BAN. In fact, it's so bad, I call some guys at my old job. I've actually changed jobs within the company. Over COVID, I've interviewed. I've yet to meet my boss. So it's kind of funny in the new job in person. But I'll call this one technician. Let me let it drop. And back during the summer, he'd ask me, he's like, when's the last time you put on pants? And I'm wearing shorts. I said, yeah, it's been a while.
Goodness. Well, one good thing about it, you said you changed jobs in the same company there, doing a different job, and you haven't met your new boss. Well, he must not be too upset with you or anything of that nature, because you're still in the position and you're still working. So that's a plus right there to start with. So, you know, it might be that... a good thing that you hadn't met him yet. I don't know. I've had a couple of bosses that, you know, I could work for, but we didn't see eye to eye. Well, I'll put it that way.
Eye to eye with him. I don't know how tall he is, so. Little camera there, but yeah, he's up in Asheville, and he said that's actually pretty normal. I guess would have had an in-person interview without COVID, but he said normally I'll see him about 5 times a year. We have about a once-a-month, 1-hour conversation on the phone just to catch up on what's going on and make sure I don't have anything, you know, that needs to be worked on and kind of, you know, pass feedback back and forth. So that's a good thing to do. And but yeah, he's a good guy, really laid back, and a really good manager. I think I'm going to like it. I've only been in a few months, but 2.5 months now, I guess. That's good enough. I've got a good feeling for what I'm doing at this point. We'll see you in a year. K4BAN.
It's all working out for you. And, you know, really, we're pretty fortunate. A lot of people don't think about it this way, but I think we're pretty fortunate that there are so many folks that can work from home during this pandemic. That way they at least keep themselves and their families a little bit safer, and they're not out in the mainstream of the traffic and the public and all of this. So that may be a good thing that the technology has come to the point where the folks can work from home a little bit, you know, at least part of the folks. I know the people that are, you know, not in IT and don't do stuff on the computer every day. Unfortunately, they can't go into to work. Some of them do, some of them don't. You know, there's a lot of folks out of jobs right now, but it's not anybody's fault as far as that goes, other than the health situation. So, you know, I'm glad that the folks are being able to work from home.
For me, I work for the power company, so being able to be logged in from home is nice, because in my old job, and I've yet to get any in the new job, my old job, I get calls 9, 10 o'clock at night, especially during an outage, at midnight even. But I've already got my computer set up, you know, logged in, just locked it, and I could easily log in and say, hey, here's the problem, and go back to bed. Where in olden days, I'd have to get up and throw my clothes and, you know, go to work and do all that, go to my office, go through security and stuff. So it's got a lot of advantages, and I think it's set us up for success in other parts of the business, just to, you know, like tonight. I mean, I work kind of late on a couple of things just because it's here, but gives you more flexibility, too.
Joe S. in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with K4BAN. Well, that's true, Alex, and it's all good, you know. Like I said, of course, what I used to do, you couldn't do from home. I drove a truck for a whole number of years, and my oldest son keeps telling me, he says, Dad, see, they're going to come up with these autonomous vehicles. He said, what are they going to do then? I said, they're going to be a lot of wrecks. And he just laughed, and he said he didn't think so, but I told him, I said, well, we'll wait and see about what happens there. But, I drove a truck for a lot of years, and then I did the shipping and receiving in two warehouses, and so some of that stuff you can't do from sitting at home, so I had to go to work every day, but I'm retired now, and wonder how in the world I had time to go to work.
Yeah, there are a lot of jobs out there. My dad actually did maintenance, drove a truck around the region basically for a company for years before he went to work in a factory back home. But there are a lot of jobs that I was just laughing because I got a friend that you talk about a time to be in a profession. So he finished medical school 2 years ago, and so his last, was it 1.5 years of his 3 years of residency has been in the emergency room as an ER physician. I said, you picked a heck of a time to become a doctor.
With that statement, but then again, my wife's nephew is a doctor up in, I don't remember where Will lives now, Charlotte, Concord, somewhere up in that, up North Carolina. And after his residency, he chose to be an ER doctor. So that's where he's at now. I mean, he loves it in the ER. I told him, I said, I don't believe I'd like that too good. And he said, well, he said, it's not the same thing over and over. He said, it is, but it isn't. He said, you don't never know what's going to come in the door.
Well, that was his philosophy, is he wanted to do pediatric ER, but now he's just doing general. I think you have to maybe, probably Columbia has one or two of those, and Atlanta has a bunch. But he says, yeah, it's not the same thing over and over again. And he's like, I don't have to give people medical advice, they'll just ignore. I mean, like, you know, you tell people to take this medicine or whatever, and then they just ignore it, come back in 6 months and wonder why the pill hasn't worked and why the advice hasn't worked. It was like, well, you didn't follow it. So he's like, I just have to keep people alive for 12 hours at a time and move them to a different floor.
Look at it, I guess. I don't know. My hat's off to those folks. There's a number of jobs that if I had to do, I would. But there's a several of them that I just don't want to do. You know, I mean, I don't want to be a police officer. I don't want to be a fireman. When I was in the military, I had to be a fireman because I was in the Navy, and we had to go through all kinds of fire training and this sort of thing. And, if there's an emergency, I don't mind running towards the fire or whatnot, but there's a few jobs that I would not want to do. And if I had to, push come to shove, I would. And I think doctors is one of those. If push come to shove and I had the schooling and the knowledge and the practical experience with it, I would do it if I had to, but I wouldn't want to.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. When I was a kid, I thought I wanted to be a police officer, and I kind of held on to that for a while, and then I actually joined as a volunteer firefighter when I was 16, and went through, at the time you could go through all the firefighter training in South Carolina as a kid. I guess you still can go through some of it at 16, but I think they really want you to be 18. You know, you go to the burn building and everything up in Columbia. I think I finished everything at 17 in a few months. And I've done that in a part-time / volunteer role, except for maybe a year since I was, that's been 21 years now. And while I was in college, I thought I still wanted to be in law enforcement, but let it drop. One summer working as an intern at SLED, while working full-time at another job, just one day a week, because it was not paid, it was not a paid internship. I'm like, well, maybe I might be an arson investigator with SLED. I thought that would be neat. But decided not to do that, so I still play fireman, but we really don't have a lot of fires. It's funny that you said those are two things you didn't want to do, because I kind of thought about it for a while. I guess I still do one.
DOS on the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with K4BAN, Mr. Alex down in Clemson. I'd like to recognize KJ4HYC, Mr. Shane, over there at 6 Mile via text message on the Echo Link. But get him in the log. And, I'm with you there, Alex. You know, like I said, there's some of the jobs I wouldn't want to do. If I had to, I would. But, gosh, I don't know. I used to think about, I don't do it much anymore, about the volunteer fire departments and maybe getting involved in with the volunteer fire departments because of, you know, I've had a lot of the training that that they have to go through now, but I had it years ago. I'd have to probably go through it again just for the sake of qualifications and that sort of thing. But I don't have any doubt that I could still do it. I've talked with several of the folks that I do know that are either firemen or on the volunteer fire departments and talked to them about some of the training and some of the things now. And yep, I've done that, you know. And but there are a few things that have come out that I would have to be refreshed on a little bit, you know, a lot of the chemical fires and this sort of thing. Of course, when I was in the military in the Navy, I had to keep up with all of that. And of course, they made sure that I had kept up with my training, so I didn't have to worry about it then. But I don't believe I would do it right now unless I really had to. I'll leave that for the younger folks. I'm getting to the point where I think I need to slow down just, well, I am slowing down, whether I want to or not.
Yeah. Well, that'll happen. I know I don't get as excited as I used to get. I mean, when I was first starting out, I don't know, probably from 16 till about 25. Man, you couldn't, I mean, if homes went, which at home when we had a call, we actually had a call. Here it's a lot of fire alarms and elevators and, you know, we call it smells and bells. Something smells funny or there's an alarm and usually nothing's to it. Well, small fire department back home, when the tone went off, it was usually a wreck or someone's house was legitimately on fire. So, I feel like I'd come out of my driveway sideways in my personal vehicle, if you know what I mean. But I've slowed down a lot over the years. I don't get as excited as K4BAN.
And that you don't get excited as easily as you once did. But I think we're all that way. You know, as we get a little older, you know, we find out, hey, I may not be as bulletproof as I thought I was. You know, I better kind of watch what I'm doing a little bit now. So I guess that's a good thing. But It's going to happen to all of us sooner or later, you know. So the best thing to do is just be careful and do the best we can, and try not to do as many crazy things as we did in our youth.
I've, you know, had my mother tells me I'm an adrenaline junkie. I've done some scuba diving and skiing also, in addition to the firefighting thing. And I was skiing up in West Virginia, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Fortunately, with my now doctor buddy, but he was still in medical school at the time. I kept trying to go faster and faster down this one run up at Snowshoe in West Virginia. They have these, one side of the mountain, it's a black diamond and a double black diamond. And I think the fastest I got was, I got an app on my phone and also on my watch. I think it was 64 and a half miles an hour down the slope. Next time I tried to best it, and I don't think I got that fast, but I planted face first into the snow, and I'm pretty sure I either cracked or bruised a rib.
Well, I guess it's all right if you want to do that. You know, of course, I've jumped out of a perfectly good airplane, and people think I'm nuts for doing that. But when you do that, you don't feel, you know, how you trip and fall, or you're going down a ski slope and you fall. You know that you're falling, and you know that it's going to hurt when you land. When you jump out of an airplane, you don't really feel like you're falling. I don't know. It's a different sensation. If you've never done it, it's kind of hard to explain, but you don't have the sensation of falling as such. So, you know, there again, that's one of the another crazy type things that we've done in our time around here. And, well, it's like I've told several folks, it's a wonder I'm still here. Good Lord's got something else for me to do, or I wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just when you think you're crazy, there's always someone crazier. That's the beauty of this world is it takes all kinds, as they say. And this past weekend, I went up to Boone, North Carolina, because it was going to snow, and I didn't go to ski because I just stay away from the ski resorts with COVID. There's just too much crowding around the lifts, and you know, you got to get in the chair and whatever with people and stuff. But I go hiking up at Grandfather Mountain at the Profile Trail, which is a kind of a switch back and forth up to the ridgeline, about 3 miles each way. And in this I'm walking along. It's about, I think it was about 22 degrees at the base when I started hiking. I'm about 2.5 miles up this trail, and I hear a guy behind me. He's moving fast. So this guy passes me, and I'm in, you know, jeans, T-shirt, jacket, whatever. Got more layers in my backpack. Gloves. He passes me, and he is wearing nothing but running shorts and sneakers and a backpack. No shirt, no hat, no gloves.
What type of folks, they find out in a hurry that they messed up. I used to have some friends that lived up there at Grandfather Mountain, and we would go up there, and down at the base, you'd be comfortable and you know, nice, and might have on short sleeve shirt or something of that nature. But by the time you got to the top, you better be dragging your jacket out if you got the windows down in the car. Whether you do or don't, you better bring your jacket out. But once you got outside, it was a whole lot cooler. But a lot of folks didn't believe that, but it's the truth. You know, the higher you go, the cooler it gets. But I enjoyed it up there around Grandfather Mountain and Linville and, oh gosh, I can't remember all the little bitty towns and things right in that area. But like I said, we had some friends that lived up there, not at the top of Grandfather Mountain, of course, but they lived up there around the bottom of it, and we always went up to the top when we went up to see them. But it's an experience, no doubt.
Yeah, well, he was probably relying upon it as true. At one point I was down to my T-shirt, because if you get moving fast enough and, you know, put it off enough heat, I mean, I've hiked, and I did that actually up there. I guess that would be near Fosco. I was hiking a trail. and it was 7 degrees, but I was going uphill for 3 miles, and I was down to a t-shirt, and I had to wear some on my head because it was a little cold. So, and I guess he continued to run after he passed me, and I don't know if he was running in and out, because he never passed me on the way back, so he must have been running to a campsite. I don't know where he was going, because it's not a loop. You either got to come in and out, or you got to go across to another side of the mountain, which is like, I don't know, there and back would be about 14 miles, I guess. But I guess he was really moving enough that he thought he was going to stay warm, and he did. I don't know, K4BAN.
As long as you're moving, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but your legs are your heater. You know, as long as you're moving your legs and exerting a lot of energy out of your legs, that helps warm the rest of your body up. And I call them my heaters, you know. As long as you keep your legs moving, the rest of your body will pretty well stay warm. But in cold weather like that, you know, you don't think about it, but if you got on layers and you're on, you start sweating, and then once you get on up and it gets a little cooler and you start slowing down a little bit, even though you're still pumping out a lot of energy, you're also losing a lot of heat, and you're cooling your body down too quick. And that's the reason you start off, like you say, in a t-shirt or something of that nature, and then carry layers with you. And you know, once you get to where you're going to stop, stop and dry off and put on some dry clothes, and hypothermia will sneak up on you in a heartbeat, and that's what gets a lot of folks, I think.
Yeah, I'd intended to go all the way up to the ridge line and get to the first view, which is it's probably more than 0.4 miles from where I stopped, but I stopped at the spring there on the profile trail. I said, I'm going to have a snack. I hadn't really had that much to eat that day. I bought a banana and some, you know, Cliff bars and some water, other things. I had a bunch of stuff in my backpack. Well, I peeled back my banana to eat it, and the outside of it was frozen. And I went to drink my water, and I could drink it, but the outside of the water bottle was frozen inside. You could see the water inside the bottle had started to ice over. And I said, this isn't good.
Well, you don't always think about stuff like that, especially when you're first starting out. And it's always good to be prepared, and I hope everything goes well. What else you got for us tonight, Alex?
Well, that's all I got. I appreciate the QSO. God, good evening, and maybe you'll get a couple more check-ins. Enjoyed it, and we'll catch you later.
KI4DOS, K4BA. Hey, Alex, well, I appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit. Enjoyed it. Hope we can do it again sometime soon. Next time you go out on your a good hiking trip, of course, you already know to carry you some layers to put on and that sort of thing, but wrap that water bottle up in something. Keep it a little warmer, and you know, I don't mind eating a frozen banana every once in a while, but you got to take care of your food supplies as well. But you take care, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoy it there, Alex. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. KI4DOS.
Nick. Please check in Kilo November 4, Uniform Bravo Golf. That's KN4 UBG, Kevin. I'll be over here in Fountain Inn. I'll be -, 73 is you and everybody on the net. And I sent you a text message. I guess you can regard that now. You have a good evening.
Say good evening. KN4 UBG, Mr. Kevin, down there in Fountain Inn. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Kevin. I had another station in there that came in right before Kevin did. Come on back.
Yes, Kilo 4, Romeo Oscar Whiskey. You check me in and out, Gary. Good evening, bud.
got you. K4ROW, Mr. Richard over there in Greenville. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
What? Four mics here, Juliet, down in Malden. Name's Tori.
Say good evening, KF4MSJ. And is that Corey down there in Malden?
Tango Oscar Romeo Yankee, like Dory with a T.
We got you. Appreciate you being with us tonight. Hope you're doing well. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Damn, Walt, you still there? Well, folks, I'm going to put my net report into the computer and let the repeater do its thing, and then we'll finish closing the net out. Folks, had a grand total of 55 tonight. Good number of check-ins. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling. Give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp. And hope to hear you tomorrow night. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks that checked in with us tonight, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.